Jumbo Ekabo, welcome to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This podcast was created to be what the next immigrant needs to thrive and what we need as an immigrant community. In this podcast, we talk about attaining financial independence, living full lives in the new countries we call home, and we'll do all that while talking about topics that pertain to the immigrant community all over the world. We'll do that with grace, with truth, with love, and yes, with great background music. So please, dance into every podcast episode with me. I'm Di Olateru, and I'm your host. Welcome.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. Hello. Ohayo gozaimasu.
I should probably add good morning in Japanese to the opening of this podcast, but that means I'll have to re-record the whole intro. Let's put that as a goal for 2024, okay? Welcome back to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This is episode 91. And, you know, the holiday season is around the corner. And this episode is inspired by my OG favorite podcaster, Mylik Teal. She's back and she briefly mentioned boundaries over the holidays, and my brain went ping. So thanks, Mylik. I don't think you'll ever listen to this, but if you ever do, thank you. So it got me thinking about how often we talk about or hear people talking about getting through the holiday season, and we get through things like the flu or a tough assignment or a breakup. But getting through the holiday season, you know, it can be an indication, right, that something that we're supposed to enjoy has lost the joy that it's supposed to come with. And why is that? And this can be because the holidays may trigger negative memories for some. It can be because we tend to pour out so much to others that we leave ourselves empty. And this coming at the end of the year where we've, you know, felt like we've been kind of running a race all year. And so it can lead to burnout. It can also mean that some or all of the people we spend time with over the holiday season out of duty and obligation might not always be the best for us, or at least perhaps not for a long period of time. And then on top of that, it's hard to not get swept up in the holiday spirits. I love the holiday spirits. I love all the decorations. It just brightens up my spirit. But the holiday season is also one where we get swept up and we spend more than we need to, more than we intend to, more than we should. And there's so much impulsiveness, if that's a word, at the end of the year. And so it becomes a perfect storm, right? We have retailers holding sales, doing promotions that we don't want to miss out on. And our emotions are heightened, right? I'm not going to lie. I mean, the colors, everything is so beautiful. What's one more beautiful sweater? And so how can we proactively manage all of that this time of year? And so let's talk about setting boundaries. And Brené Brown, a research professor at the University of Houston, she's very popular. She defines healthy boundaries as simply your list of what's okay and what's not okay. And so who and what can we set boundaries around this holiday season? That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about five ways we need to set boundaries this season and probably throughout our lives. But before we get into the episode, please rate and review the podcast. Don't just rate and review. Please give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's the one thing I ask. It really helps amplify the message. It really helps and share the podcast. So give a review and share the podcast. I think 2024, I'm going to have very ambitious goals for the growth of this podcast. And I hope that you'll support me and come along on this journey. And at the end of the year, I'll do some polls or something to just get feedback on what you'd like to hear more about, stories that resonate with you, and all of that. But anyway, getting back to the podcast and boundaries. Number one, first and foremost, set boundaries with yourself. First, before anything else, this is the most important boundary because everything else stems from this. And just before we go on, let me just say, I have not nearly perfected all these things I'm talking about. I'm talking about it as I'm working through it. But I will tell you, when I look back on the last 3, 4, 5 years, I am so much better about my boundaries. And I hope I continue on this path. But the thing is, you know, first and foremost, yourself. There is only so much that you can pour from an empty, tired, or broken spirit. And so as you fill up your schedules with all the activities to put a smile on the faces of others, your friends, your family, your kids, your parents, this is your reminder to schedule the time and space and activities that pour into you this season, whatever that is for you. It doesn't have to be what people expect you to do this time of year or any time of year. If it's not a massage, if it's reading a book, do that. And this may be just scheduling do nothing days or sending the kids to their grandparents or their aunties or scheduling massages or seeing a therapist or planning a number of date nights with your partner or with yourself, or even scheduling a end of year just deep dive where you look back on the year as a couple or with your friends or by yourself, or scheduling time with your friends, or attending a conference, or attending a religious event to close out your year, or scheduling time alone, or a combination of some of all of the things above. So I think at the very beginning of this whole boundary setting process, set boundaries with yourself, make promises to yourself, and hold yourself accountable to honor your word to yourself. Because I really think that when we don't honor our promises to ourselves, we're showing that we don't take ourselves seriously. And I'm on this same table that I'm shaking, or this topic I'm talking about. It's like, if I can't, many times we break our backs to honor our words to others, but we are the very first person where we postpone, or we say, oh, I'll do that later. Oh, I didn't get to that. And I don't want to, confuse this with like giving yourself grace. There's giving yourself grace and thinking of yourself as worthy enough to honor your word too. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if that's coming out the way I want it to come out, but I hope you get it. And as you go into this holiday season, I'd say don't make decisions driven by guilt or expectations. And I know that it can be tough, you know, especially as immigrants, right? Everybody does this, but I think we have a sense of obligation to family, to friends, and it can be tough. But I hope that you filter your yeses and plans through these lens. You know, will this commitment leave me drained or leave me replenished? If I'll be drained, am I willing to make this sacrifice? And have I planned my replenishment? Right? So I hope that that's something that you keep in mind as you decide what to say yes to and what to say no to. Second boundary is setting boundaries with work over this season. And I'll be honest, this may not be applicable to everyone, but for some of us, aka me, work can bleed into our everyday if we allow it. And or we're just in fields where work is project-based and some projects can come at the worst of times during the holidays. So I'm not going to tell you to slam your computer shut on December 15th and don't reopen it until January, especially if that doesn't work in your industry. So I would say decide what your capacity is and communicate beforehand. Make a plan with your colleagues on who is going to cover on what days so that everybody doesn't have to be on the whole time. And if requests come outside of what you have capacity for and what you've communicated, I would say the real kicker here is reiterating your position and let them know you will address when you return. And I know I'm saying this, and I have had times in my career where I have just put everything down and faced the work. But I have learned that, again, in honoring my word to myself and in thinking about, well, what kind of person do I want to be? It's very important, even in those hectic project-based jobs where deadlines are deadlines. And I'll give an example. In Japan, Christmas is not a holiday. It's not a Christian country. So Christmas, we are working. We actually have a deadline 2 days after Christmas. So it's actually going to be my busiest. December will be my busiest month since I've gotten here. And so I plan to work a lot in December. But I have told my team, I understand Christmas is not a big deal to you. It's not a holiday. But I will not be in the office on Christmas Day. It's bad enough that I'm not with my family or my friends at Christmas. I'll now be at work on Christmas Day when people are eating jollof rice. No. Even if I would just sit on my couch and watch Christmas movie, I'm very happy with that. So what I'm going to do, again, I communicated like 2 months ago. So everybody knows. And I'm probably going to put in some extra hours leading up to that because it's so close to the deadline. And then the team's got a cover on Christmas Day, and I'll see them on Boxing Day. You know, that's just what it's going to be. And then the third example of boundaries we need to have in place is boundaries with family. And if you're listening and you have family that you don't have to set any boundaries with, that's rare, but that's wonderful, and I love it for you. But for many of us, I think that we can love our families and put boundaries in place. And I know family dynamics are very different. No two families have the same dynamics. There are families on extreme ends of the spectrum, and there are many that are somewhere in the middle. So I think regardless of where you find yourself, it's important to put boundaries and to exercise those boundaries at this time of the year and put them in place to protect yourself and avoid resentment and preserve the relationship in the long term. Now, you know, time with family can be a time that brings on comparison with others, like, you know, whether it's your siblings or cousin, oh, that one is at Goldman Sachs, what are you doing with your life? Or, you know, can bring up triggering conversations about identity or politics or faith or marital status or whether or not you have kids, whether by choice or by circumstance. The examples are endless. And so that's why that's why it's important to do the following things. One, know your limits and know when to leave. It's okay to leave the party when you're done. And it's okay to even decide before you arrive how long you'll be there. It's also important to speak up firmly and calmly and use I statements to make your point and drive home the point. Keep it calm, keep it simple, keep it direct. Another thing is that you don't have to stay with family if you can't afford to. Stay in a hotel if you want your space and your peace. That's perfectly okay. And Nedra Tawab, you know, I follow her on Instagram. I've read her book and I just ordered another book. You know, has some examples of things to practice this season by saying, when I come to visit, I'll be staying in a hotel. It's not an ask, it's a tell. It's not a question, it's a statement. Or if you need help, say things like, I need help with preparing Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner. Or simply say, I don't want to talk about hot button issues. Let's change the subject. Or in advance, managing the situation by saying, last year was stressful. I would like to talk about how we can do things differently. Yeah, I think those are just some great examples for starters. But it's being clear, setting expectations early when you can. And then last but not least, about setting boundaries with family. You know, I'm all for doing your best to be at peace with everyone, to foster relationships with family. But if some relationships are downright unhealthy and anxiety-inducing, then maybe the right thing for you to do is to pass on the gathering this year. Skip the gathering entirely. All right, boundary number four. And that is creating financial boundaries for the holiday season. And of course, you knew I was going to talk about money. I mean, come on. So number one, create an overall budget, but break it down into spending limits for everyone. And yes, that's even your cute nephew or your son or daughter. And verbally communicate those things with family and friends. You know, for example, if you know you have things going on and you prefer for this to be a year of no gifting, or you'd like to just communicate, you know, amount limits to say, okay, we're going to spend $25. You know, I think it's important to speak your needs, because speaking your needs will lead to peace. You know, I think, like I said earlier, if communicating boundaries feels intimidating, use I statements, because I statements will show confidence and good boundary setting, because they're expressing your thoughts, your feelings, your opinion without putting it on the person, right? So I appreciate your invitation to the party, but I'm a little overwhelmed by holiday expenses this year and I can't participate in the gift exchange. Who's going to say no to that? You know, you didn't put it on them. You're just talking about your situation. You know, plan your shopping according to the budget you set. And don't track it in your head, because I've been guilty of this. Like when I say, oh, I'm tracking, okay, my total budget for all gifts and decor is $500. Okay, I buy three gifts, now I've forgotten, am I at 150 or 200 already? And then it just spirals. So plan your shopping according to your budget. Don't track it in your head, write it down. Write down all the people as well, so that you don't forget and then have to add on at the end. And then you have no idea you've gone over until it's too late. Have a budget, plan by budget, write it down. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, limit the holiday events that you attend. Like if you need a new outfit for every event, then maybe skip an event or find a way to repeat an outfit. But you don't have to go to every single event, especially if they're going to be costing you money to participate. And in some seasons, there's just some years where there should be no gift years. Like again, when I say personal finance is personal, you know, you have to recognize the financial season that you're in and act accordingly. You don't have to, don't feel the need to do what you did last year, because last year is not the same as this year. You can change your plan for the year. You can change your plan from last year to this year. We are not robots. Life is dynamic. Things are changing all the time. And so it's okay to change the plan. The other boundary I'll say to put in place is to actually schedule time with your chosen family. And the wonderful thing about chosen family, which is pretty much our friends, our non-biological people that we consider close enough to us as family, is that they're chosen, right? Nobody forces you. There's no societal expectation around this. And I actually think Friendsgivings are only going to continue to be more popular. And so regardless of your family dynamic, if you do have a close group of friends, I think this time of the year is a great time to prioritize spending time with them. And for many immigrants, our chosen family may be all we have in close proximity to us, right? So since I left Nigeria, I have never lived in the same city as a family member, nuclear or extended. And so I've been forced to find my chosen family, and many holidays have been spent with them. There's something special about people that have a choice yet choose to stand with you, laugh with you, break bread with you, cry with you, pray with you through all of life's seasons. And so I think family gatherings are wonderful, but I find friend gatherings that are life-giving to be so, so beautiful. Because what a privilege it is. What a privilege. It's such a privilege to just have this community of chosen people that will go to bat. And many times, you know, I find that I'm just as close to some of my chosen family as I am to my blood family. And so make time for them, whether it's a Friendsgiving or a gift exchange or a meal at a restaurant or just a hangout, something, because time is so precious and nothing is promised. But these gatherings where we sit around the table, share stories, reminisce on old times, look ahead, and just have those belly, you know, those laughter that induce tears. I don't know. It's priceless. And then the last boundary I'll put in place is to embrace the joy of missing out. And that's JOMO, right? It's really embracing the idea of finding joy and contentment, of opting out or missing out on activities and prioritizing yourself. And whether it's putting away social media during the holidays, because if seeing families in matching pajamas, you know, kind of triggers your anxiety or reminds you of what you don't have, then maybe it's time to turn that off. Maybe it is, you know, it is just consciously deciding where to spend your time and resources. And it might feel different at first, especially if you're choosing to skip an event or something that everyone always goes to. So sometimes choosing to go against the grain may feel different at first, but if it's what you need, then it is worth your peace. You don't have to do all the things, right? JOMO can come in handy anytime, but embracing it during this hectic holiday season can reduce the end of year stress, the financial fallout that comes out of this, and all of that. Like, who doesn't want to start the new year feeling rejuvenated, feeling at peace, not coming down from, you know, just a stressful time? And JOMO does not mean that you have to turn down every event, you know, invite and turn into a Grinch this season. It might look like committing to saying yes to your top two or three holiday related events, and then just building in more time to cozy up at home or just do things by yourself and you know, read a book or spend time with a loved one, whatever that is for you. And so, folks, it's been good catching up. And I still really wish podcasts would allow for comments or something so I can kind of hear back from you real time. You know I post about the episodes on Instagram, but that's, I don't know, that feels like a one-way conversation. So, yeah, that's something I can look into in the next year as well. But anyway, it has been wonderful being back on here. And I think we have 3 more episodes before the end of the season. And then I'll be taking a break, putting up that boundary to step back a bit, you know, to focus on work in December, but also to kind of wrap up the year and just get some rest in and not feel the need to post here, release the podcast here and all of that. And to also just plan for the podcast for next year. But I hope you're doing well. It is Thanksgiving in the US next week. So happy holidays. I hope you're doing well. And I will see you next week. Ciao.
Hey there. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Rich Immigrant Podcast. Before you go, I'd like you to know that there will always be room for you at this table. And as I wrap this up, I'd like to ask for your help with a few things to help support and amplify the message of the podcast. First, please subscribe. Click the subscribe button, and that way you're notified of new episodes. Second, if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review the podcast. That way you're signaling to Apple that the content here is, you know what? Popping! And you amplify our message to other potential listeners. And last but not least, please follow us on Instagram at The Rich Immigrant. And as we go out into the world, I hope that you're encouraged to show up and live fully in whatever country you've chosen to call home. Ciao, bye, odabo. See you next time.